Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So, John, you know, big couple weeks coming up, major developments in the economy, major developments in the political sphere. We have the congressional elections, the presidential election, the much awaited release of real GDP estimate for the third quarter. Let's start there. Take us through the details of your latest growth forecast. I believe you're about 35.5%. Take us through that, but also let us know where that is versus, let's say, the consensus and perhaps some official estimates.
Okay, so that's this is a good starting point because number one, we had to shave down our number very recently this week. And then number two, it's possibly, if the numbers are as good as we think, it may influence some stubborn people in Congress and their willingness to compromise and do deals and that kind of stuff. So let's just jump into the number. So we're looking for, right now we have a current tracking number of growth rate of 35.6%, let's say. We were at around 39.6% over, you know, last 4 or 5 days or so. What caused us to shave the number down to us is something pretty notable. We were really going into the deep granular of the inventory cycle, where we look at, believe it or not, 58 industries. We noticed two or three of the fairly volatile ones being manufacturing and wholesale, petroleum and energy inventories, and also in food inventories. Believe it or not, doesn't sound exciting, but in those, we noticed on an inflation-adjusted basis a very, what looks to us to be a very weak third quarter. When you look at the nominal business inventory numbers that have been published for the last few months and so on that we have through August, they look really pretty good. They tell us that inventories are going to swing like $390 billion. But when we inflation adjust these things to capture these nuances, our swing goes from that 393 in nominal terms down to only $231 billion swing. So that's a pretty, soft, you know, it's like almost half the strength in real inflation adjusted term as you'd see in the nominal. So that's what caused us to dial it down. I don't think we dialed it down too much. I think it's going to be reasonably accurate. I know we're looking for a bigger than most people, but in general, we think it's a pretty good number. Overall, it should get us to GDP 35.5%, let's say. The consumption numbers, as we've gone through before, consumption looks very strong, 38.5%. We have it. We have business spending on equipment, 40%. We have residential investment, 49.4%, practically 50%. And then we have, we have the inventory number. It's a good number. It's just not as big a swing as nominal data suggests, number one. And then number two, the foreign trade deficit, we do have it blowing out. I mean, I just looked at it compared to ADP, the Atlanta Fed number. And with the Atlanta Fed number, we're looking for the trade deficit to blow out like three times what they're looking for. They're looking for the deficit to deteriorate about $40 billion, and we're looking for it to deteriorate almost $120 billion. So there are a lot of moving parts in this GDP. So it will be good to actually get the number, get it behind us, let everybody know so we get all on the same page. The consensus, as you know, has been very soft on GDP third quarter. Most recently, after the strong retail sales number, the consensus moved up to 29%. Again, we're like 35% and change. We've been close to 35% for the last 3 months or so. Consensus was at like 20% and 24%. Now it's 29%. But a few people, there's a few of us, maybe 10 or 12 forecasts that were all the people who are over 30%. And that's what you'd see on your Bloomberg terminal. That consensus, which is a small subset, 10, 12 forecasters, the consensus there is 32%. So I think by the time you get to the middle of next week, 7 days from now, next Wednesday, the day before the number, the consensus should be, I think, around 30, 31, 32%, possibly 33%, but somewhere in that range. And our numbers, as we just said, we think we're going to be around that 35% mark. So consensus has moved a long way up to our number, but it would be really good, like we're saying, to really, for everybody, for the policymakers in Washington, for the Fed, for investors, to get this number really in front of us, because there's been just such a wide dispersion of views on this thing. And it's been be able to say, if it is 35%, like we're saying, it's like, wow, great. Look at how good we rebounded. Fourth quarter looks like another couple of percent, 1 to 2%, maybe a little better. Another gain, we consolidate, keep the economy moving. And then next thing you know, we're into next year. And, you know, so the dynamic becomes very, very interesting.
Thanks, John. So clearly a big bounce back in GDP, maybe not as much as you thought, you know, given you're revising down your inventories, but that's obviously has the bright side of making the fourth quarter look good. So switching topics. So everyone is talking about fiscal stimulus. You know, we on Tuesday we passed the deadline, but we're still negotiating. So, but we are running out of time in some form or fashion. So the presidential race is only 13 days. If stimulus is not passed over the coming few days, how does that stimulus debate shape up in the you know, January, February, March of 2021? What kind of surprises should our listeners be looking out for?
So this is a really big issue, and maybe for the market, maybe a little bit more. So again, just to keep things fix ideas, we do have, you know, our numbers, our GDP numbers for this year are much better than the consensus. They're moving in our direction, but in general, we still have, you know, we're looking for an outcome of year on year for the end of this year of only like, you know, -2.2% for GDP. It's really outstanding. And then next year in our base case, which does not assume much fiscal stimulus, only assumes $600 billion in fiscal stimulus. In our base case, our forecast 4.6%, 4.65% for GDP growth for next year. Again, like 60 basis points or so, 70 basis points higher than the Fed's view and the consensus, that kind of thing. So our numbers are really pretty aggressive. And so for us, it's not critical that we get the stimulus, you know, of a $1 or $2 trillion stimulus. For us, it's just kind of critical that we just keep the show going and just keep the economy moving. And it's doing well on its own. We would like to see some stimulus, but it's not like it's mandatory to hit our number by getting 200 billion. So in what I worry about is, should you get a good GDP number next, you know, in next week, and then it follows up with another decent employment report and another sharp drop in the unemployment rate. And our forecast for the October unemployment rate is that it's going to fall, you know, 70, 80, 90 basis points in October. So, you know, it's the people who are the deficit hawks, if you will, in the Republican Party, this is going to embolden them not to compromise. And this is a problem. So I worry about that. So I worry that we're not going to get a stimulus, you know, in the near term. And then if you get these numbers, you may not get a stimulus, you know, between now and the end of the year, between the election and the end of the year, in which case suddenly you're in the January, February, March negotiation time period, which, you know, of course, the outcome of the elections will heavily determine, you know, what the new Congress is, who's the new president, and what they're willing to do. You know, so I have a concern that, you know, for us, obviously a Democratic sweep with all the stimulus that they're proposing is the strongest growth trajectory for next year. If you get a Biden, if you get actually a Trump presidency with a Democratic Congress, I actually think Trump is, you know, would be willing to do deals and would possibly develop, you know, create a pretty sizable stimulus, not as much as you might see under Biden, but you know, something pretty strong. And that would also, with given our baseline forecast, that would really, you know, catapult GDP, you know, 5.5%. If the Democratic sweep, we have GDP like 6.5%, and so on. So if we're divided, a divided Congress, and the economy keeps improving like we're forecasting, we worry that those budget deficit hawks in the Republican Party, basically, as they've done now with Trump, sort of sequester, if Trump's president, they sequester him next year, they, you know, in effect. And if Biden's the president, you know, given the acrimony between the two parties, that plus the deficit hawks, you might not get that much stimulus next year. So I think, you know, the markets just seem to be tuned to the idea that without, you know, you must get the stimulus in order to hit the GDP numbers. And what we're telling people is you're going to get the GDP numbers. The stimulus is the icing on the cake. It's nice. It's good to have cake with icing. If we only have cake with some frosting, okay, that'll do. If we just have the cake is really pretty good as well. So we would just like to see some things, but our view is that we're more confident in this recovery than the market is. So we're more confident that these yields, these interest rates are going to move up over time, over the next, you know, 15 to 18 months, and then the market is. So, you know, I think that's the issue.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's an interesting take. That you don't necessarily need that larger stimulus to hit. You're already above consensus GDP target for the end of next year. Let's switch topics a little bit. So the core investment stance has been for a 2s-30s yield curve steepener. You know, since the spring of the year. The steeper curve is definitely catching a lot of market attention. A lot of people are talking about it. How do you see your investment stance evolving over the coming 12 months? You mentioned, I think it was in previous podcast, of a potential mini taper tantrum coming next year in the summer. Take our listeners through that a little bit.
Okay, so the way we're thinking about things, again, our unemployment rate number for the end of this year is about 140, 150 basis points lower. It's just the end of the year is 2.5 months away. And our unemployment rate number is 140 basis points lower than the Fed's view right this second. And it's 150 basis points lower than the consensus. Next year, we are again for year-end 2021. Another 150 basis points lower than either the Fed's number or the consensus number. So we see the unemployment rate ending next year, 3.9 or 4%. You know, we're talking about a three handle at the end of next year. So for us and our GDP numbers, again, even without the stimulus, we're looking for 4.6%, 4.7% next year in GDP growth. So our numbers are much better than the street and the Fed's thinking, and much better than the investors. So, you know, we've been told by some of our relationships that the 2s-30s steepener trade is an overcrowded trade. And they said that, like, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago at this point, and many of those clients did. And people were really reluctant to embrace it, to put on the trade and put on the investment stance. But, you know, we've steepened significantly, you know, 20 basis points plus in the last few weeks, and we're now at the steepest part of the 2s-30s curve since early April. We're at the steepest part right now. So we've taken out the previous wide and the spread. I would not describe this as a freight train. You know, I've been in the bond market for God knows how many, like, you know, 2.5 decades at this point, a little more. And this is not a freight train. So because there's so many moving parts and people are not fully embracing it, and it's like it just kind of begrudgingly steepens and things like that. So we think, though, over time, when investors get as much confidence as we have in this cycle, and as the Fed does, and I think by, like, you know, spring, summer, early midsummer of this coming year, going to have that, then I worry about a mini taper tantrum at that time, because we're already starting to see some Fed people like Charlie Evans, Bullard in St. Louis. We're starting to see some of these Fed people saying, you know, maybe we're going to improve faster than we think. If so, you know, maintaining the current pace of purchases of $120 billion a month in, you know, between mortgages and treasuries, $80 billion, it's going to be hard to maintain that, you know, through all of next year if the economy keeps improving the way we're talking about. And that sets up the quandary that, or the taper tantrum kind of quandary that Bernanke had to live through back in May of 2013 and June of 2013, where, you know, the taper word slipped out. So I think it's really interesting. I know we're all worried about who's the next president. Will it be a contested election? La, da, 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 da. We've lived through elections before. We've lived through contested stuff before. We've seen this show before. I know, you know, there's uncertainty still with the COVID, which still looks high to us all through the winter, unfortunately. But the economy keeps really advancing despite all the naysayers. And by the time you get to next summer, there should be, you know, at least one vaccine out there. And I think at that point, this economy really starts to take off because we already have several industries, several sectors fully recovered. Like you look at general merchandisers, fully recovered already. You know, we haven't even gotten to Christmas, fully recovered already. You know, the online shippers, fully recovered already. You know, sporting goods, fully recovered. I mean, building material supplies are fully recovered. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Motor vehicle sales on a dollar basis, fully recovered. I mean, it's just astonishing. So, you know, it's just, we're really getting there. You know, we're a couple of pushes away. The vaccine will be one push. If you get a fiscal stimulus, that'll be another push. And then, you know, by the time you get to midsummer, this economy is really going to hit a stride that's pretty quick. And I think a lot of investors are offsides. And these bond yields of, you know, 1.5, 1.4, 1.55, 1.6% are just, in our minds, way too low. We see the bond yield like 2.2%. You know, by this time next year or fourth quarter next year. So it's going to be very, very interesting. It's not going to be a sleepy, quiet year, I don't think. I can remember it was like 2010 and 2011, 2012. They were kind of super quiet years, rates low and not doing much. I don't see this coming year being like that. I think it's going to be a little bit more excitement and a lot more volatility than people are thinking. So we'll have to just stay tuned. But, you know, next week's number is going to be huge. Obviously, seeing the outcome of the election is going to be a really, really big deal and stuff like that. But I hope, you know, people, our readers and our listeners just, you know, stay the course and, you know, try not to get too nervous about the future and try to just, you know, see what we're seeing in the data and just, you know, hold on to that, you know, to that, those optimistic threads. It's really pretty amazing.
Well, it's very clear that our curse is that we do live in interesting times. Thanks for that, John. Great analysis as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.